everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, we're honored to have someone whom I've known of since our days as students at Gardena High School. And I promise, Andrea, I wouldn't say how long ago that was. So I'll just say it was many, many moons ago. Right, Andrea?
Right.
Okay. Her husband, Ken, and she own and run a small manufacturing business in Huntington Beach. She's been married to Ken for 26 years now, and together they have two grown children, son Jonathan and daughter Sarah. And with that, Andrea Lynn, welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, who would have known that after all these years, we'd be sitting here doing a podcast about your testimonies and both going to Catalyst Christian Community and being in small groups together?
Right? I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty cool how God just keeps making us run into each other.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, one thing that isn't surprising is that we're both here glorifying God and lifting up the name of Jesus with your testimonies. So I'm excited that our church family and beyond get to hear this amazing testimony. And so if you're ready, let's jump right in. Sound good?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. So to help set up your testimony, start by talking about what took place that fateful day when you had to jump into your car and drive to your destination.
Okay, so it was April 26, 2021. It was a Monday. And, you know, we had a regular work day, and we were supposed to go pick up our son Jonathan, from John Wayne Airport around 8 o'clock that night. He was coming back from Ohio.
Yeah.
And that day was unusual, because normally Ken and I would pick up Jonathan together. Mm-hmm. And what happened was, when one of our coworkers was driving home, he actually got into a car accident that he totaled his car, where he fell asleep behind the wheel, or fainted. He lost consciousness behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. And he actually hit another car, and then he totaled his own car. And so Ken went to him and pretty much just said, you know, Andrea, you're going to have to go to the airport alone. I have to make sure our employee's okay, you know, that he's at the hospital and being taken care of, and that his family is aware of what happened.
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, no problem. You know, I'll go ahead and pick him up. And so I decided to take Jonathan's car, which is a Toyota 4Runner. And I knew coming home on the flight that he wasn't going to have anything to eat, because they usually don't provide meals anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I had to go to John Wayne. So the 405, if anyone knows, has had a lot of construction the last few years. Mm-hmm. And I stopped at Tokyo Central to pick up some sushi, and that way Jonathan could eat as we're going back home. So I got the food, and I was back on the freeway, and I had just entered the freeway and probably had driven no more than like a mile. And it was already dark, you know, by that time. It was approaching 8 o'clock, and I suddenly I went into the construction area where there was no barrier. There were no lights, and it was right near the 405 and the 73, and I think I either got confused or... Yeah. Something. It was just, I just drove into the construction zone. I probably drove in about 200 or 300 yards into the construction, and I couldn't see where I was going. And I just remember something saying to me, just drive straight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just drive straight.
Thinking that there's a way out from where you're at.
Right. I could just drive straight and just slow down. That way, you know, just take the bumps and everything. Okay. Mm-hmm, so I didn't want to veer to the right. I couldn't veer to the left because there was a concrete barrier there that would actually go. That would not be good for the car.
Yeah.
And so I just started driving straight, and I was slowing down. And at some point, at about the 300-yard mark, you know, there was no end to this. And so I ended up hitting an embankment, and the car came to a total stop.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, let me try to get out from where I am.
And at this point, your SUV is on the gravel or dirt.
Right, it's on the gravel, and all the belongings I had on the front seat all fell into the front. So all the sushi, all my purse, you know, everything fell forward.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I got to get out from where I'm going. Let me try going forward. So I would try to go forward, and you just hear the wheels turning and nothing. You know, I wasn't moving. I go, well, maybe I should try backing up. I could just back out of where I am.
Yeah.
Maybe get back on the freeway.
Yeah.
So I tried backing out, and it wouldn't go. I probably tried this for a good minute or so, forwards, backwards, and the car just wouldn't budge. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I thought, well, okay, let's think then. You know, let's turn off the car and let's think about this. And I remember being pretty calm, you know, during this whole time. And, you know, I was able to pick up the stuff off the floor, like the sushi and my purse and stuff like that.
And yeah. And so let me stop you there. So that's probably, you probably consider that unusual for you to be so calm given the situation.
Right.
And maybe given how you might have responded in the past.
Right.
I guess, huh?
Right. Normally I would be kind of like, oh my gosh, no one's going to see where I am. What if someone else runs into me? Or what if someone does the same thing that thinking that I created there was a path.
Right. Right.
You know, that could have happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I just thought, okay, you know, for some reason I was just awkwardly calm. And I just thought, well, okay, let's just go ahead and call Ken. So I called my husband and I said, hey, I'm not going to be able to pick up Jonathan. He's already in and I'm stuck. He goes, what do you mean stuck? I go, somehow I ended up in the construction zone on the 405 and I won't be able to pick him up on time. And so he said, okay, you know, our employee's okay. I'll go get Jonathan. Just call him and tell him just to wait outside the terminal. And I said, okay. And he goes, are you okay? I go, I'm okay. He goes, if you drive on the 405, you're probably going to see me. You know, because I'm going to be right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, okay, as long as you're okay. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to wait.
Yeah.
And see what happens. After that, I dialed 911, but the AAA.
AAA, uh-huh.
And I also got someone to send a tow truck, and I just said, I'm stuck here on the 405.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't give him exactly where it was. I just said it's close to the 73 off-ramp.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of waited another 10 minutes, and then all of a sudden, a highway patrolman actually drove into the construction zone, and he came up behind me, and he said to me, he goes, ma'am, are you off-roading? And I said, no, officer, I'm not off-roading. I don't know what happened, but somehow I'm stuck.
And you think he might have been joking with you.
You know, I think he was joking, you know, just to kind of keep everything light.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
And so I thought, no, you know, he goes, are you okay? I go, yeah, I'm okay. He goes, okay, well, stay in your car. Let me just walk around the perimeter and see what's your situation. And so with his flashlight, he would walk around the car and see where I was. And came back to me. He goes, you know, you're really stuck. He goes, did you try moving this car? And I said, well, yeah, I tried to get out, you know, move forward. He goes, well, it's a good thing you didn't move forward because you have a 5 to 6 foot drop right in front of you.
Wow.
It just,
wow.
If you went over that embankment, you would have landed your car straight into a ditch.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So it's good that I wasn't able to move the car.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, so let's just wait for the tow truck. And I said, okay. And the tow truck driver probably seemed like another 10 or 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
And the guy drove up in one of the flatbed ones. Yeah. And his front of his car was to my back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he came up and he just said, okay, let me take pictures of this. And then I'm going to have to reverse the tow truck in order to pull you out of where you are. I said, okay. And he just said, all right, he took pictures and he also told me, yeah, you're not in a good place because if you went forward, you would have, you know, would not have been good for you or the car.
Yeah.
So he goes, my most important job right now is to get you and your passenger to safety. And I said, passenger? And he goes, yeah, you know, the person in white. And I said, I'm alone. And the guy's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. He goes, no person, no dog? I go, no, I'm driving myself. And he said, okay, then let's just get you to safety. And so he said, go, just get into my car, and then we'll take care of it. The officer will turn your car around and after I tow it out, and we'll get it on the flatbed, and then we'll get you on your way. And I said, okay. And so it was, you know, I didn't think too much about that at first. And then when I was in the car with him, and I started talking with him as we were driving the car to my mechanic's shop.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I go, you know, you mentioned, you know, something about seeing a person with me. He goes, yeah, when I drove up, I saw something in white. And I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, he goes, I actually have pictures of the incident, you know, the front of your car.
And
I took pictures of the surrounding area. He goes, you know, if you went to the right, there was also another 5 or 6 foot drop. if you went that direction. And he goes, but it's a good thing you got stopped where you were. And I said, well, yeah, I actually feel really, really lucky. So
we got
the car back to the mechanics, and at first the highway patrolman did say the car seemed to run pretty well, that it was fine when they were loading it. And the tow truck driver just said, well, you know, I want to look at it while it's up on the flatbed.
Yeah.
And that way I could see underneath, you know, if anything happened to it. And so when we got it back to the shop, he looked underneath. He goes, well, so far it looks okay. You know, I see a little debris, you know, some rocks and things like that.
But
I don't really see anything leaking. I don't see, like, a lot of scratches, like abnormal scratches or anything.
Yeah.
He goes, do you mind if I drive your car? And I said, oh, no, you can drive it. No problem. So he got it off the flatbed. And by that time, my husband and my son were at our office.
Yeah.
And the guy took off in our car. And he was gone kind of for a long time. You know, I thought he would just make a couple drives and maybe be back in like 2 or 3 minutes. But he was gone for like maybe 6 or 7 minutes.
Mm.
And I thought, wow, he's really taking this car for a ride. Maybe he just wants to make sure that it's okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when he came back, he drove up and parked the car. And he goes, you know, I don't see anything wrong with the way this car is driving. The alignment seems fine. I didn't see like any bumps or scratches or scrapes. And I thought, wow, really? He goes, yeah. But, you know, obviously have your mechanic check. So we had the mechanic check the next morning, and he also agreed that nothing had happened.
Not a scratch.
You know, a little bit of rocks, and occasionally there'd be a little rock falling out as my son would be driving the car. You know, we would find a little bit on our driveway, a little bit at work. But it looks like nothing happened to the car with, you know, anything. It was still driving fine. So we never had to have it fixed. And so, you know, in hindsight, it's just like, you know, unusual, you know, and you just have to think back to everything that happened. Like, wow, you know, maybe, I mean, obviously the Lord's protecting you and watching over you. And no matter where you're going, even though you're just listening, like, go straight, just slow down and go straight. And so it was pretty neat that, you know, it was someone else that saw what was in the car. It wasn't because I, you know, obviously I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
But I felt at peace the whole time. You know, even when talking to the driver, to the highway patrolman, I didn't want to sound panicked. I didn't sound panicked.
Yeah.
And I wasn't confused.
Yeah.
And so he could tell that I was, you know, in my right frame of mind. I wasn't, you know, under any kind of influence of anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a pretty neat experience that happened.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That is really a wow. So as you reflect back, and I'm thinking specifically for the person in white that the tow truck driver saw as he came onto the scene, how do you process that now as you look back on that incident regarding this person in white sitting in this?
Well, we always think of the person in white as being, you know, someone that's more angelic, right? You know, someone that is a good person, obviously. And I think for me, it just means that God could show his presence, maybe not to me at the time, but to someone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just thought, you know, it's nice to feel that maybe in my calmness, it was just the Lord being there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was calm.
Yeah.
Instead of panicked.
Yeah.
You know, and I, you know, I'm not sure how I would react if it would happen again, but I know, you know, in other instances of car accidents, usually your heart races and things, you know, go through your head.
Right.
You know, and it was really so like out of my control. Like, I mean, I could only do like holding the steering wheel straight and just slowing down. I really, really couldn't do much of anything else because it happened so fast.
Right. Right.
So you really just had to like trust, you know. I mean, if the guy saw something, I mean, I have pictures. I don't, not pictures of someone in white, but, you know, of the situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So looking back on it, you know, I think, like, you know, God is very present, you know, wherever you are.
Right. Yeah. Wow. You know, as you were sharing your testimony, Andrea, I thought of, you know, something that how you know, Pastor Barry, when he was sharing his video testimonial, made a comment. He said, there's no place that we can go where God isn't there, where God isn't present with us. And as I think about your story, my thought is even, I mean, God prevented that SUV from going over for whatever reason, it didn't go into the ditch. But my thought is, even if it had gone over the ditch, that he still would have been with you.
Right.
Because he was there, I mean, there in the vehicle right. with you at the time.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's strange for me to be driving my son's car too. You know, an SUV could take that construction site debris a lot better than the other cars that we have.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I just happened to take my son's car that day.
Wow.
You know, we're higher up. Mm-hmm. The tires are mm-hmm. bigger.
Yes.
You know, it's
yes.
like a four-wheel drive type of vehicle.
Yes.
And
yes.
so, you know, maybe all of that plays into the situation as well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I just want to quote Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so as you reflect back on this harrowing event, what is your main takeaway, or what did God show you through this?
I think it's just to almost repeat what it's just to really trust him,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and to know that he can be present in every part of your life, even though it's just a simple drive or, you know,
yeah.
Whatever you do during your day. You know, you might think it's very small, but sometimes it's just nice to know that, you know, the Lord is just right there all the time.
Right.
And just looking out for you. And yeah. I think for me, it's a big deal, you know, to know that he's like right there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you find now when you jump in your car and you're driving around, are you more aware of his presence?
You know, it's always interesting, you know, like yeah. sometimes when you're driving around a parking lot and you're looking for a parking space and you're always uh-huh. like, oh, Lord, just can you just find me something close? And sure enough, someone will pull out not too long after that.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's
yeah,
happened
I've had that
to
happen
everybody.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's happened a lot, you know, yeah. actually to me. And, you know, it happens when I'm with other people in the car too, you know, like, let's just see if this works. And then it does.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So you get a good parking space. You know, sometimes you're in a location where you're not sure of, and it's always better to be, like, closer to a more public area. So where everyone, other people can see you.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah, so it is nice, but it's just reassuring to know that, you know, he's watching.
Yes, yes.
Even though I'm not an important person, you know, he's just watching.
Uh-huh. Well, so, you're important to him.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Yeah. So Andrea, as we close our time together, I just want to first of all thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing this amazing testimony with us.
Thank you, John, for having me.
Yeah, and finally, I'd like to end our time by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for this wonderful testimonies and for our listeners.
Okay.
So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea's testimony of your hand in her life. Thank you that you are always with us, like you were while Andrea was driving in the car to pick up Jonathan that day. And Lord, may you help us to recognize and acknowledge your presence with us wherever we are. And so now, Jesus, may you use this testimony in Andrea's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And that's it for today's podcast. Until next time, may you take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration for others. God bless.